From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. Another hour of sounds from the Golden Age of Radio, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with a very early episode of the Jack Benny program. Jack Benny made his radio debut in 1932, and his radio show ran through 1957. Initially on NBC, eventually moving to CBS. At this point in his radio career, his program was sponsored by the General Tire Company. This broadcast, episode 142 in the series, originally aired August 31st, 1934 on NBC. It's titled, The House of Benny.
The General Tire Rubber Company, world's largest manufacturer of low-pressure tires, presents another half hour of music and entertainment starring Jack Benny. The orchestra opens the program with My Baby's on Strike. Thousands of people in every community have taken advantage of the special sales that the General Tire dealers have been conducting for the past 2 weeks. To make it possible for more tire buyers to cash in on this timely event, these sales will be continued through Labor Day. There are only a few days left, but there are still plenty of fresh, new, blowout-proof Generals purchased at a rare concession from the General Company, especially for this event, at prices that, for once, bring these famous top-quality tires within the reach of everybody. Don't delay. There are still plenty of tires in all popular sizes. See your General Tire dealer tomorrow. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear any odd noises on your radio, don't worry. It'll be Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Odd Noises speaking. Jack Benny. Why do I pay attention to that guy Wilson anyway? Do you ever see Don Wilson, folks? He's a big, good-natured fellow, laughs at anything, and always picks up a check with a smile on his face. I mean his salary check. There you are. You hear him? You know, Wilson has only been in New York a short time. He comes from the West and was formerly a deputy sheriff in a small town in Wyoming, which is equivalent to a Boy Scout in New York. He's a well-fed gentleman, eats three meals a day, and has a corned beef sandwich rehearsal before each meal. He has the greatest collection of knives and forks you've ever seen, and carries a salt shaker in his vest pocket.
Oh, you're wrong, Jack. I don't eat a lot.
Not much. He holds two decisions over Henry VIII. But at that, really, Wilson's a nice guy. And he really has only one fault. He talks in his sleep. And if you ask me, he's more convincing than when he's awake.
How do you know that I talk in my sleep?
Well, I left a microphone in your room last night, and you might not know it, but you were on the air at 2:30 this morning.
Oh, yes, I guess I was dreaming. Do you believe in dreams, Jack?
Why, certainly, Don. You know, when I was in Saratoga a couple of weeks ago, I dreamt about a horse called Mr. Kayam, and the next day I played him.
Did he win?
No.
Well, your dream didn't work out then, did it?
Yes, it did. I dreamt he'd lose.
With my eyes wide open, I'm dreaming. Da-da-da-dum,
Mary.
Da-da-da-dum.
Mary, say, Mary, do you believe in dreams?
Why? What made you bring that up?
Oh, Don and I were just discussing it, that's all.
Sure, if it wasn't for dreams, some people would never go anyplace.
That's right, Mary. Dreams certainly get you around.
Yeah, and the rates are so reasonable.
They sure are. Do you dream often, Mary?
No, only on Sunday night.
How's that?
What else can you do in Plainfield on Sunday night?
That's true, but do you really believe in them, Mary?
Sure I do. Last Sunday night, I dreamt I was Greta Garbo.
You did?
Yes, and when I woke up the next morning, I couldn't get my shoes on.
Well, those things can happen. Hmm?
Sure they can. And, oh, Jack, last night I had the strangest dream I've ever had. It was awful.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I dreamt I was in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the 15th floor of a building, and I tried to get out through the door, but the flames blocked my way.
Oh, my goodness.
Then I tried the fire escape, but that was locked from the outside. So I ran to the window. It was the only way out.
Yes, Mary?
But the flames were catching up to me. I didn't have a second to spare. So I put one foot out of the window, and then...
Yes, Mary, what happened?
It was a serial dream to be continued tonight. With my eyes wide open, I'm...
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Frank.
Hiya, Jack.
Hello, Frank. You're late again.
Mm-hmm.
What's your excuse this time? I suppose you drove over and your car broke down.
No, Jack. I walked over and I broke down.
Oh, I see.
I have a banana.
I see. He just added that himself, you know.
Well then, Jack.
Here, Frank, page 4, dreams.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead. It's your line.
Say, Frank, do you believe in dreams?
I certainly do, Jack. Why, one night I dreamt I was the Prince of Wales,
mm-hmm.
and the next day I was playing polo and fell off my horse.
Fell off a horse? That's an old joke.
Well, I dreamt it about 8 years ago.
Oh, I thought, I thought so, yeah.
You know, I dream a lot of old jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it strange, though, how dreams come true?
You here again?
Last week, my uncle dreamt he was the King of Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, my aunt crowned him with a rolling pin.
What are you laughing at?
The joke is older than Parker's.
You said it.
Well, I think we had enough of dreams tonight, anyway. And speaking of dreams, what a dream the General Blowout-Proof tire is. It is smarter looking and will give you more safe miles than any other tire.
I was wondering how you'd get that in, Wilson. Huh? Well, let's have a little music. Oh, Bester, I didn't see you standing there. I nearly left you out. Tell me, did you have a dream last night?
No, Jack, that was my wife.
Play down. That joke is older than I am.
Yes, but not as wrinkled.
Sapphire, played by Don Bester and his More Mileage Orchestra. Say, Don, I suppose your orchestra will be in the Labor Day parade Monday, eh?
But they will, Jack, and I'll be there wielding my baton.
You'll be what?
Wielding my baton.
Oh, wielding. Where'd you learn wielding the baton, Don?
Wielding West Virginia.
Well, that's the best we can do with that, folks. That's the best. Say, Frank, are you going to march in the Labor Day parade?
You bet I am, Jack. I'll be right there.
Well, I'll have to look for you. Who are you going to march with?
I don't know. I'm just going for the walk.
Well, we've got Wilson stuck. He can't say if you walk, use general tire, anyway.
Well, that's right, but I'll get to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jack, I'm going to march in the parade, too.
You are, Mary? Who are you going to march with?
The Stooges. And say, Jack.
What?
I wrote a poem all about Labor Day once.
Say, poem about Labor Day? No, no, no. I don't want to hear it.
Well, the other 120 million people do, so I guess I'm going to read it.
All right, all right. Get ready to sing, Frank. Go ahead, Mary. Read your poem. Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Labor Day. Oh, Labor Day. You come but once a year. In September, not November. Gee, but you're a dear. Butchers, bakers, all parading down the avenue. In your honor, Labor Day, and not to Santa Claus.
Mary.
Quiet. Lives of great men oft remind us, footprints on the sands of time.
I heard that before.
And the bills we leave behind us in the Catskills and the beach on Labor Day. Dear Labor Day, when we haven't got a dime left.
Is that all, Mary?
Mr. Longfellow.
Why couldn't I think of that?
30 days past September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except Labor Day, which falls on Monday. I thank you.
Sing, Frank.
Well, how do you like my poem, Jack?
Terrible.
Well, I'm not trying to tell it.
Oh, I don't know.
Stars in the sky softly gleam, cares of the long day are past. This is like living a dream, we're all alone at last. A new moon is over my shoulder, I wish that you might be mine. A new moon makes lovers grow bolder from skies up above. Why the song is love. This night forever will haunt me. We are just whisper that you.
Singing A New Moon Over My Shoulder from the motion picture Suit Number One. And I must admit, Frank, you are one of the best tenors on this program.
What do you mean, one of the best?
Well, we all sing tenor, more or less. And you know, Frank, at times when I'm home alone, I'm surprised at the results I get with my voice while shaving. Really, you know, I always like to sing when I shave.
Yeah?
And my favorite song is, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, da-da-da-dum-dum-dum-dum. Really, it doesn't sound bad at all. What do you think I ought to do with my voice?
Use a straight razor and continue shaving.
Is that so?
Why, Frank, you ought to be ashamed of yourself panning Jack's voice.
Thanks, Mary.
Jack can shave as good as you can.
Well, we're certainly wasting a lot of time here. What have you got there, Mary?
Fan mail.
Only one? No increase over last week?
No, but we're holding our own.
Let's have it. A special delivery. It's from Lake Potchinponim, Sullivan County, New York. It says, Messrs. Wilson, Parker, Livingston, Bester Tire on the Market. Dear Jack, have been listening to all your programs since last Friday. We thought your play, The House of Rothschild, was very comical. We liked it because our name is Roth and we have a child. In fact, we have 8 other childs, making 9 childs in the House of Roth. 4 work for my husband Roth and the other 5 work in child. So no matter how you serve it, the house belongs to Rothschild. If it isn't asking too much, this week we would like to have you give us another play and call it The House of Benny. Signed, yours truly, as ever and likewise, Mr. and Mrs. Roth and the 9 childs. Mary, can you imagine a request for The House of Benny?
Well, you live in a house, don't you, Jack?
Yes, but what's interesting about that?
Go ahead and do it. You don't have to tell them about the sheriff and the mortgage.
That isn't it, but I mean, who cares about my home? Say, Don, what do you think we ought to play tonight?
I kind of like that idea, The House of Benny.
But nothing happened there, Don. Now, you take the life of Napoleon. That was interesting. Or Shakespeare or Rothschild. They accomplished something. But what does anyone care about my house?
Some people like to go slumming.
Oh, yeah? I see. Well, let me tell you something. I lived in one of the finest houses in Waukegan. And if they want to hear about The House of Benny, they're going to get it. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to offer that great American play, The House of Benny, in Waukegan, Illinois, the town where Lincoln was born.
What Lincoln?
Tom Lincoln. He's a friend of mine in the grocery business.
Oh, I thought you meant Abe.
You're thinking of Abe Lyman, the orchestra leader. Anyway, our play, The House of Benny, will go on immediately after the next number. Slumming, eh? Say, property man.
What?
Put up a beautiful home on this stage. Get some Louis XIV furniture. A dozen Michelangelo paintings. 6 or 7 Hope diamonds. And a garden like you've never seen before. Slumming, eh? Play, Don. Slumming. That was a medley from Rain or Shine, played by Don Bester and his Waukegan. And now for that great play of American life in Illinois, The House of Benny. I, strangely enough, will play the part of Jack Benny, and Don Wilson will play the part of my father. The opening scene is the interior of the Benny home, where a baby is born, which is me. Curtain, music, Don. Wait a minute. This is the house of Benny, not Rubinoff. No.
This is awful. This is awful. The suspense is killing me.
What are you so nervous about, Hiram Benny? Well,
I'm about to become a father. Who wouldn't be nervous?
I guess that's me, folks.
Oh, there it is. There it is. I am a father. Hooray!
Congratulations, Hiram.
Hooray for Hiram.
Hooray!
Oh, thanks, fellas. Thanks. I hope it's a boy.
Congratulations, Hiram Benny. Here's your baby.
Tell me, nurse, what is it, a boy or a girl?
It certainly is.
They'll find out.
What is it, nurse?
It's a boy, and it weighs 12 pounds.
Looks like I'll have to go on a diet right away.
Thank heavens, I now have an heir.
A what?
Are you here again? An heir, an heir. What's on your head?
A can of ashes. I'm the janitor.
Just look at the little darling. Coochie, coochie, coochie.
Coochie, coochie yourself. Who is this lady holding me?
Why, that's your nurse.
Nurse to you too, Papa.
This is the happiest day of my life. Come on, boys, come on. Have a cigar. Take a handful.
Well, I'll take one.
Me too.
What about me? It's my party.
I wonder what we ought to name the baby.
I think you ought to call him Don.
I don't like Don. There are too many Dons on this program.
That's right. That's right. What can we call him?
I wouldn't call him at all. Just leave him there. Aw, the poor kid wants a name. How about calling him Jack?
Yeah.
That's it. He likes the name of Jack.
Well, why not christen him?
All right. I now christen you Jack Benny.
He didn't have to break a bottle over his head.
And this is the start of the rise of the House of Benny. We now take you to the same house 8 years later, where Jack is already showing signs of talent.
Stop that noise, son. Stop that noise. You know, it's your birthday today. How old are you now?
8 years old are you and five to the streetcar conductor.
See, folks, I'm cracking wise already.
Stop that noise. Stop that noise. We'll have no violin players in the House of Benny. Throw away that violin. There's no money in it. And besides, you'll never be a Chrysler.
All right, so I'll be a Pontiac.
Chrysler, Pontiac, as long as it's got general tires.
My son, music isn't a career for you. I want you to be a doctor or a lawyer.
No, Pop. If I can't be a musician, I want to be a master of ceremonies to make people laugh. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And tonight we're going to give you a blah, 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 blah.
Attaboy. See the talent coming out, folks?
What do you mean, a master of ceremonies?
I want to tell jokes like this, Father. How many hairs on a monkey's face? The next time you shave, count them. You get a pop? Hi, am I hot tonight.
I'll get better as I grow older.
Yeah, I'm just as good now as whoever was.
Stop arguing with yourself, my boy. Anyway, I don't want to hear any more about jokes. You take up a profession like your father's.
What is your profession, Dad?
Me? Well, I am retired.
Oh, a bum, eh?
What's that? What's
I
that?
Didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. I heard you.
Oh, that was years later.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Jackie.
Well, well, well. It's your little friend Mary Livingston from the East. She came here with her mother.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Frankie.
That's Mary Livingston in the gay 90s. She looks like Shirley around the temple.
That's what I mean, Dad. See how funny I'm going to be when I grow up?
Well, I guess I'll have to leave you two kids alone to play.
About time you got out of here.
Oh, yeah? Take that, you little brat, and that, and that.
Ouch! Say, I didn't say anything. That was my future.
Ah, he was a good old father. Never laid a hand on me. Always used his cane.
Don't cry, Jackie. You'll be a big man someday, and the House of Benny will never hold you.
I'm not going to stay here. I want to be a radio comedian, Mary. I'm going to go to Chicago and get a job on the air.
Gee, that's great, Jackie. Can Mother and I go with you?
Well, I only got 8 cents.
I think you better leave Mother here, Jackie.
8 cents? Then what are we waiting for? Let's go.
But Mary, what can you do on the radio?
Labor Day. Oh, Labor Day. You come for once a year.
That's fine. Let's go. Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye, Jackie. Success to us. Gee, I was a cute kid. And then started the cavalcade. Away we went to Chicago, London, Paris, Vienna, Budapest, New York, New Haven, Hartford. And then came the war. Hardship, struggle, boom, 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 boom. What are we fighting for? Then came Prohibition. Then came Mae West.
I'm stuck sometime.
Then came the World Fair in Chicago. Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, lemonade. Then came the Johnstown Flood, the burning of Rome and the fall of Carnera. Then came pictures. Crawford, Gable, Wheeler, Woolsey, Groucho, Oucho, Chico, and Zeppo. And what are we fighting for? Then came Noel Coward with a better cavalcade than we have. Then came the crash of 1923. More margin.
I'll tell the world I love you, margin.
And then came Mae West.
Oh, Jack, I'm tired. I took some time.
And then came the transatlantic merry-go-round with Jack Benny.
Hooray!
And then came the dawn.
Now 1934, and we take you again to the house of Benny in Waukegan, Illinois.
Florence?
Yes, Father?
I suppose you remember that little tramp brother of yours that left here before the war?
Yes, Father. I wonder whatever happened to him.
Oh, I suppose he's in jail someplace. That boy was born a tramp, and I couldn't do a thing with him.
But, Father, he was my brother and your son.
Yes, that's right. Well, I tried to make a man out of him, but he preferred to be a tramp. Florence, tune in that radio and let's forget about him.
Okay, Dad.
Hello again. This is your master of ceremonies, Jack Benny speaking.
Jack Benny, tune that in louder.
And here is Mary Livingston. Say, Mary, how many hairs on a monkey's face? This'll kill you, folks.
The next time you shave, count them.
That's Brother Jack, all right. He told that joke 40 years ago. What do you think of your son now, Dad?
He's still a tramp.
Labor Day. Oh, Labor Day. You come but once a year.
Oh, tune out that junk. Tune it out. Now listen, daughter. I've something to say to you.
Yes, Father, what is it?
If you ever do what your brother did, use the Jack Pryor, as you will not only get more mileage, but you will fart and blow out proof. They can be purchased on convenient terms through your General Tire dealer.
That wasn't my father at all, folks. He sells insurance. Play Don.
Conditions of legal warfare throughout the tire industry are responsible for the biggest sale ever put on by General Tire dealers. From coast to coast, it's their answer to competitive sales that have been advertised at special discounts. Continuing through Labor Day, you can buy famous dual grip and dual balloon blowout proof Generals at preferred wholesale prices. No matter what size you use, you'll be surprised what you can do in this sale. There is still a good supply of all popular sizes. Let the General Tire dealer show you how far he can go in a tire deal for your car. It's an opportunity for unmatched saving and extra value for car owners who are prepared to take advantage of this timely condition.
This is the last number of the 22nd program in the General Tire series, and we'll be with you again next Friday night. I hope you liked our play, The House of Benny, Cavalcade, and What Price Glory. Next week, we will give you East Lynn, The Cat, and The Fiddle. If you can think of anything else, we'll put that in, too. Come on, Mary, let's go.
Oh, Jack, I'm sorry, but I've already got a date tonight.
Oh, well, when am I going to see you again, Mary?
On Labor Day. Oh, Labor Day.
Good night, folks.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
It is now 10 seconds past 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Station WEAF, New York.
From August 31st, 1934, the Jack Benny Program, during the General Tire era of sponsorship, The House of Benny. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the Radio Theater, you can do so by email. The address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to listen to this and previous episodes of the Radio Theater again, or if you want to view detailed program logs for this and previous episodes, then head over to our blog and website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or audio for this episode, look for Upstate Radio Theater show number 1713-1713. We'll wrap up the hour with an episode of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke was the first adult Western radio series. Certainly, there were many Western radio series prior to this, but all of them aimed at children, the best known of these being The Lone Ranger. Norman MacDonald created Gunsmoke in 1952 for CBS. William Conrad portrayed U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, with the regular cast including Parley Bear, Howard McNear, and George Ellis. And this episode featuring also John Daner and Lawrence Dobkin. They both appeared frequently throughout the series' run. This was a rerun of sorts. In the summer of 1957, they were reusing old scripts, but re-recording the episodes for the summer season. This broadcast originally aired on April 2, 1955, as program 155, re-airing on July 14, 1957, as program 275. And at this point, there were multiple sponsors of the series, and surprisingly, none of them were tobacco companies. This broadcast is entitled Bloody Hands.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Anastasia, my darling, say you will be mine.
No, Charles, I can never marry you.
But why? I have wealth, position, a new 57 car.
That's just why I won't marry you, Charles. Your 57 car is so old-fashioned and boxy-looking. It's been outmotored by the 57 swept-wing Dodge.
Oh, but Anastasia, I got such a bargain deal on that car.
Oh, Charles, there's no such thing as a bargain on a 57 car that isn't really new.
Oh, but Anastasia...
Has your car got torsionaire ride?
Oh, no.
Twin-set headlights?
Oh, no.
Swept wing styling?
Oh, no. Only Dodge has all that.
Well, you paid for a new car, but you didn't get one.
Oh, marry me anyway.
Not until you get a new Dodge.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, Charles. Adjust your wig.
Shall we dance, darling?
Yes. Turn on Lawrence Welk.
Hello, Chester.
Oh, come on in, Doc.
Where's Matt?
He ain't here.
Eh? He's not? Mm-hmm. Where have you two been the last couple of days? I haven't seen either one of you.
Well, I just got back from Hayes City. Mr. Dillon sent me over there to fetch some government papers. And you know what, Doc? I took the Santa Fe both ways.
You did? Well, that beats riding a horse, huh? Where's Matt, you say?
He left a note here, but he didn't say exactly where he's at.
You mean he's out of town?
That's what the note says. Seems somebody told him where he could find Jack Brand.
Jack Brand?
That's right. Mr. Dillon says Brand's got three of his gang with him.
You mean Matt's gone out there alone after four men?
Well, now, if I knew where he was, I'd go help him, Doc.
I know, but there's nothing you can do about it, Chester.
Worries me, though. Doggone if it don't.
Hey, Chester! Chester!
Well, there's Mr. Dillon, Doc.
Where is he?
Well, there he is. Sitting on that wagon.
Oh. Who's that with him?
Oh, some fella gave him a ride, I guess. Hello, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Chester. Doc.
What? You lose your horse?
No, I left him out at Barr's ranch and borrowed this wagon. One of his riders will bring him in tomorrow.
Who's this with you?
You've seen his picture, Chester.
What? Where's Jack Brand?
Let's get on, Brand. You first.
Sure.
How come you to let him drive the wagon, Mr. Dillon?
To keep his hands full, Chester. Here, take my shotgun. Lock him up.
Yes, sir. Where's the others? I thought he had three men with him.
Go on, tell him, Marshal. Tell him where they are.
And the wagon under that canvas.
Oh.
Are they all dead, Matt? All three of them?
Yeah, they're all dead, Doc.
Bloodiest marshal I ever seen. That's just a wagon load of meat.
That's enough, Brad.
It ain't hardly enough. I never seen such a killing.
What happened, Mr. Dillon?
They put up a fight and I had to take them, so.
That's all. Your lawman here hid himself in the grass and just waited for us to come out of that cabin. And then he yelled, so naturally we headed for cover. Who wouldn't? And he just laid there and he cut loose of that shotgun. Tore up two of the boys that way. Then he stood up and cut down Hank Smith with a six-shooter.
How come you got out of it, Brian?
I jumped back in the cabin and I give up. You blame me?
I suppose you're trying to say that you wouldn't have shot him.
Sure, we tried to shoot him. Any man got a right to defend himself.
I never heard of resisting arrest called self-defense.
I never heard of no marshal shooting down everybody on the landscape.
Lock him up, Chester.
Get going, Brian.
Think he was killing a hog, not a man. Bloodiest marshal I ever seen.
Shut up and keep walking.
Oh, Matt, see, you were mighty lucky. Taking on four outlaws that way.
Yeah.
And you killed three. Say, wait till people hear about this.
Brand's right, Doc. It's a lot of killing. An awful lot.
Oh, now don't get to thinking about it too much, Matt. It's your job. You did it, and so it's over.
It's over, huh? Wait till tomorrow or the next day. There'll be somebody else. And there's always another man to kill.
Oh, no, Matt, I never heard of you shooting anybody you didn't have to.
No, I never did. But sometimes that doesn't help much.
Say, you look tired, Matt.
Well, I haven't slept since I rode out of here 2 days ago.
There, now you're going to get some rest. Then you'll feel better.
Yeah, sure enough.
Brand snug in jail, what you doing? He don't like it much, but I told him not to try kicking his way out, that I'd be sleeping in the office.
We'll both be sleeping in the office, Chester. I'm too tired to walk to my room. Oh, take care of this wagon and the... Oh, what's in it, will you?
Yes, sir.
You and Doc can identify those men. We'll write it on paper in the morning, huh?
All right, sir. Well, I'll be coming to bed about midnight, but I'll be real quiet.
Yeah, nothing can wake me, Chester. Not tonight.
Thorough relief. Thorough relief. Take Haley's M.O. for thorough relief. Haley's M.O. is far different from ordinary laxatives, which act only in the lower intestinal tract. They give only half the relief you need, for they do nothing for the acid upset which usually accompanies irregularity. But Haley's M.O., the best laxative ever made, acts in two places instead of only one. First, in your stomach, it relieves acidity. And second, where other preparations act, it relieves irregularity. That's because Haley's M.O. combines the two most widely approved and time-tested ingredients known. And by giving you thorough relief, it makes you feel better, infinitely better than any ordinary preparation. What's more, Haley's M.O. is so gentle, it's recommended even for surgical patients. And hear this. Now, in addition to the popular standard form, you can get Haley's M.O. in the new flavored form, which is making a hit everywhere, especially with youngsters. So buy Haley's M.O. Look for the big letters M-O on the package. And whether you use the plain or flavored form, remember, take Haley's M.O. for thorough relief.
Don't go for my what?
No, don't do it, I tell you. Leave the gun alone.
Dillon.
Leave it. Don't make me kill you. Don't make me kill another man.
Mr. Dillon, wait.
No. I've spilled enough blood. I don't want to kill you.
Mr. Dillon, wake up. No. It's me, Mr. Dillon. It's Chester. There ain't nobody here. You was asleep. You been dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
Here, let me light the lamp.
No, don't do that, Chester. It's all right.
My gracious, I come in and heard you talking, and I thought, sure, somebody's here. The moonlight ain't so bright, and I couldn't see good at first.
Yeah, sure.
My, I had to yell at you a couple times before you woke up. You was dreaming you was in a fight, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was dreaming.
Nightmares like that, they're just terrible, ain't they?
What time is it?
Well, it's a little past midnight.
Is Jack Brand awake?
No, he'd be bellering if he was. Oh, but, Mr. Dillon, now that you're awake, there's something I ought to tell you.
Oh, what?
Well, me and Doc was having a drink over at Long Branch, and a fella come in there and started talking real loud, you
talking
know.
Talking about what?
Well, sir, mostly about how he's a friend of Jack Brand's, and he heard about how you caught him and all.
What's his name, Chester?
Stanger. Joe Stanger.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Do you think he will cause trouble?
Yeah, probably. And I'm not going to worry about him tonight.
Oh, no, sir. That's what me and Doc figured. He won't try nothing tonight.
All the same, keep your gun handy, Chester. Now, let's try to get some sleep, huh? Him up, Chester. It's hardly dawn.
I could throw a bucket of water on him. Will you shut up, Brand? I'm coming.
Well, it's about time.
Cut out that cussed yelling, Brand. What's the matter?
Come on over here and unlock this cage, Jim.
What?
I've got a gun on you. Can't what? You see it?
Where'd you get that gun?
Come over here, I say.
Well, the keys ain't over there. They're hanging on the wall down here. I'll get them.
Well, don't you take your own sweet time about it. I've been in this chicken coop long enough.
All right, drop it, Brand.
But... Oh! Oh, you...
my head.
You're not hurt. I hit the gun.
I got the keys, Mr. Dillon. I'll get his gun out of there.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, my head.
Now stand back, Brian.
Well, you like to bust my
head. Stand back, I said. You're lucky.
Yeah, lucky you didn't kill me. I suppose you'd like to kill everybody.
You shut up.
I got it, Mr. Dillon. Ain't no good anyway. Not now.
Where'd you get this gun, Brent?
I made it, Marshal.
Now, don't be smart.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Joe Stanger brought it to you. He tossed it to you right through those bars on the window.
I didn't even know Stanger was in town.
Didn't you? Chester, get some boards and nail them over the window so nothing can get through.
Oh, now, wait. Marshal, that's the only window in here. You can't board that up.
You'll get enough air.
Oh, no.
When you get it fixed, Chester, we'll go to breakfast.
I declare, it's been some time since I've been out on the plaza this early in the morning, Mr. Dillon.
Weren't you up gambling all night last Saturday, Chester?
Oh, well, that's different. Things don't look the same when you've had a good night's sleep.
No.
You didn't have no more nightmares last night, did you?
No, I didn't sleep very well.
You ought to take some time off. Go out buffalo hunting or something, Mr. Dillon.
Maybe I ought to take a lot of time off. Now, wait a minute.
What?
That's Joe Stanger coming there.
Yeah, say by golly, it is. What's he doing up Surly?
Maybe he wants to find out why Jack Brand hasn't shot his way out of jail yet.
Well, he won't be throwing Brand no more guns. Not the way I got that place boarded up now.
Chester, step out of the way, will you?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Marshal. You're up kind of early, aren't you, Stanger?
Train leaves for Abilene in about an hour.
Oh, you going to Abilene?
I'll be back next week.
Jack Brand will still be in jail.
Yeah, I heard you caught him.
He's a good friend of yours, isn't he?
Sure. But I ain't part of his gang. I never was.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, there ain't much gang left now.
No.
You're a pretty rough man, Marshal.
That's what I have to be.
Don't it ever bother you, killing people the way you do?
Look, Stanger, I shot a gun out of Jack Brand's hand this morning. You come by the office later and I'll give it back to you, huh?
Now, what would I want of a smashed up six shooter?
It's yours, isn't it?
Where am I?
I'll to throw you in jail, too.
I wouldn't go to jail, Marshal. Not without a fight, I wouldn't. I ain't afraid of you. You want to try it? Go ahead. Go on. Go ahead. Draw.
No.
What's the matter, Marshal? I thought you liked killing men. What's holding you back? You're going to have to fight me sooner or later.
Get out of here, Stanger. Go get on your train.
Wait till I tell everybody about Matt Dillon, how he's lost his nerve.
Get out of here, I said.
Well, I don't want to shoot down a man that won't draw. Not today, anyway. But I'll be back, Marshal. Next week.
Why don't you shoot him, Mr. Dillon? He ain't nothing but a big bluff.
Chester. You go on to breakfast, huh? I'm going back to the office.
What? Oh, you told me
you
only 5 minutes.
You heard what I said, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Okay, Mr. Dillon. Brought you a little can full of coffee, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, thanks, Chester.
I'll put it right here. What you doing, writing a letter?
That's a telegram. Here, take this down to the depot, will you?
Sure.
I want it to go out right away.
U.S. War Department?
That's my resignation, Chester.
What?
I'm quitting right now.
Well, you can't do that.
I've done it.
I don't believe it. You're funning me.
A man can quit a job, Chester. I've quit jobs before.
Well, I know, but this is different.
No, what's different about it? The government doesn't own me.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what?
You ain't doing this because of what Joe Stanger said.
What, that I lost my nerve? No, he's wrong about that. And he's wrong about my liking to kill men, too.
Well, you never killed nobody unless you had
and
to.
Now I don't have to. I'm through, Chester. I killed my last man.
Well, I just don't know what to...
Let me tell you something, Chester. I've hated this job since the day I took it. I never did have a taste for killing, and now they can find somebody who has, and he'll make a better marshal than I ever was.
That ain't true.
Now go send a telegram. I'm going to be over at Delmonico's having breakfast. And with a good appetite for a change.
There once was a lady named Mrs. White who burned the kitchen light all night. She was afraid, as folks all knows, that someone would steal the Cheerios.
No need to be that careful, but Cheerios do have a way of disappearing. It's just that Cheerios taste so good. Cheerios aren't like other cereals. Cheerios are shaped like letter O's. That means they're toasted inside and out. So you get toasted oat flavor and golden crispness all the way through. Lots of nourishment, too, because a breakfast of Cheerios gives you the power protein of toasted oat cereal. Power protein that helps keep you feeling fit. Just try them once. Just once. Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat.
If you know your oats, you'll really go for delicious, nutritious Cheerios.
Washington, as usual, was pretty slow answering my telegram. A week later, I still hadn't had an answer, but I didn't care. I'd quit, and that was that. I even began to enjoy myself for a change. Like the day I finally took Kitty fishing.
Matt! Hey, Matt, look! I got another one.
Throw him back, Kitty. We got more than we can carry now.
Oh, I will not throw him back. Here.
Come on over here in the shade. You've done enough fishing.
Okay. Oh, look at him, Matt. Isn't he a beauty?
Yeah, he is. He's bigger than any I caught. Why don't you throw him in the sack and then sit down here?
Say, you're right. I didn't know we caught that many.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a fish fry tonight, huh?
Well, we can feed half a Dodge with all those.
I doubt that. Did you ever see Chester go through a mess of fish?
Well, the last time he starved himself a couple of days in advance. Maybe we can kind of sneak up on him.
Oh, no. He knows we're out here.
Maybe you ought to go into the business, Matt.
Oh, what business?
Fishing. You could do it for a living.
I'm going to have to find something to do for a living, I guess.
You know something, Matt?
No, what?
I think this is the first time I've ever seen you that you weren't wearing a gun.
Yeah, I guess it is. I'm enjoying that, too.
Oh, Matt, look, what? There's somebody coming on horseback.
What? Yeah, it's Chester.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like he's in a hurry, too.
Maybe he couldn't wait for that fish fry. Yeah.
Mr. Dillon? Oh, hello, Miss Kitty.
Hello, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, Joe Stanger's in town.
Oh? Well, that doesn't matter to me, Chester.
But you don't understand.
Don't understand what?
What I come to tell you. Stanger's at the Long Branch, and a while ago he had words with one of the girls there, and she slapped him, and he pulled out his gun, and he killed her.
He what?
Who was the girl, Chester?
Kate Hawkins.
Oh, no.
That's who it was, Miss Kitty. Then the bartender tried to stop him, and Stanger shot him, too, and I hear he's going to die. I grabbed a horse off the hitch rail and come right out to tell you, you've got to stop him, Mr.
Look,
Dillon.
Chester, I'm not the marshal here anymore. I quit, remember?
You mean you're going to let Joe Stanger walk around Dodge and shoot everybody that gets in his way, including women?
I'm through killing. I told you that.
Well, who's going to stop you then? You're the only man around here that'll go up against him, and you know it.
It may be true, but I'm still not going to do it.
Wait, Mr. Dillon, wait a minute. I've been thinking a lot about all this lately, and there's something you've been overlooking.
Oh?
Men like Stanger and Brand, they got to be stopped. I'd do it if I could, but I can't. I just ain't good enough. Most men ain't. But you are. It's kind of too bad for you that you are. That's the way it is, Mr. Dillon, and there's nothing you can do about it. Not now. It's too late. It's way too late.
Give me your gun, Chester.
Yes, sir. You want the holster?
No, I'll carry it in my belt. Oh, Kitty? Chester will help you carry the fish back.
Sure, Matt. Sure.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston. Featured in the cast were John Daner and Lawrence Dobkin. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for the fifth of the most popular Gunsmoke shows. It is called Kitty Caught.
Stay tuned now for 5 minutes of CBS News on the CBS Radio Network.
From July 14th, 1957 on CBS, an episode of Gunsmoke, program number 275 in the series, Bloody Hands, the second time that script was used. It originally aired in 1955. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Once again, if you want to get in touch, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com and the website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. Please join me again soon for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.